Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thanks for tuning in tonight. It's Monday night, and that means it's your Raising Expectations night. And we're so thankful to God that you're part of our family, and we're glad that you tune in each night. And I'm glad to hear the way God's working things in many of your lives through testimonies you share. So we've got another great program tonight, and we're looking forward to spending this time with you. If you're tuning in for the first time tonight, wherever you might be, we're a group of born-again believers. We believe that God is who he says he is, and consequently, God says what he's going to do, and then he does what he says he would do, and that Jesus Christ is his only begotten Son who died on the cross to pay the price for our sins, and in doing so, we become joint heirs with him. That means when we die, we know where we're going. We're going to be in heaven with him and with those loved ones, as the scripture teaches us. And so we know where we're going when we die. The world's still trying to figure that out. We're ahead of that. And secondly, we know that who's with us each and every day as the Lord works with, walks with, talks with, and enlightens the road in front of us. Usually all we have to do is get out of the way and let him take our expectations and guide him into the destiny and the plans that he has for us. Speaking of destiny, that's in the book you've been looking up. That's our special guest tonight. Once again, she's going to be sharing her book. It's going to be exciting what she'll be with us in just a minute. So right now I'm going to take you to get to know the rest of the team. We're kind of your, as one of you said, your Monday night family, and we're glad that we're with you. And we hope you had a great weekend. And as we always say, we hope God blesses the rest of your week in a very wonderful and special way. So I'm going to take us to the East Coast now. Actually, I'm not, but the greatest engineer in America, TJ Newsom's going to do that. So we're going to go all the way to the West Coast, and we're going to see Dr. Paul Hall, and he's there in Lompoc, California. There he is. And Paul has been a pastor, a counselor, a leader in so many different things in his life. And Paul is there in Lompoc. And like we say, he's the greatest guy in Lompoc. We voted him there, and then we closed the ballot. Been great having it right there in Lompoc, California. So, Paul, let's go back all the way to the east side of the south, or the south side of the East Coast, wherever that might be. And tonight, we're going to find that the Thayers were not able to be with us. They've got some great family things going on in their family, and you'll be hearing more about that. Father's Day is coming up, and we'll be sharing about fathers and men who have walked through different things in life, but they've all found out that God was with them all the way, whatever it might have been. So it's going to be a great time. They're not with us tonight, so remember them in your prayers. They'll be back with us again this coming week. So if we move from Dalton, Georgia, where they live, we're all the way back to McKinney, Texas, we will find, ready, Ron? Ron Greer in McKinney, Texas. There he is, one of our favorite pastors and family guys. And I tell you what, he does a great job. He's done many, many different things. God has brought him down a road. That's what's exciting, because each of us can tell you stories in our lives of what God has done, and every situation brings about something where we love God more than we did going in. He's more powerful when we come out, and we can't wait to see what he's going to do next. Ron's an example of this in his life, and he works with men with Man in the Mirror out of Florida, and he's the Texas director. On our website, there you go, you'll find the area director there, Ron Greer, in McKinney, Texas, and you'll read about what he does and what he shares. You'll want to look this up. Now, if you go to our website, where this is located right here, that's bbsradio.com/raising-expectations. bbsradio.com /raising expectations. We'll take you right here. And you'll read about the show, about the program. You can see different things there, but also you can read about our team members and you can hear some of the stories and their lives and what they're doing and kind of feel like you're part of the family. We're going to hopefully do some updates this summer on this and even bring you up some exciting things that have been happening since we last worked on that together. So we're sure glad you're with us. Ron, you had a great day.
Right.
Oh,
Pretty good day.
well then.
Voice is almost back.
Oh yeah, talk soft. Yeah, we've been praying for Ron, and I know many of you. Hey, Ron, we had some people ask me how you're doing this week, so I'm glad that you're doing much better. That's excellent.
Doing better. Not 100%, but doing better.
Yeah, slow and sure.
But
That'll.
my radio voice is almost back as well, so I'm okay.
Just it'll come back. It'll come back. Everybody will feel right at home when that happens. That's right. All right. Well, I'm one family less than the program tonight. I could talk a little bit slower. Somebody said, "Man, Joe, you articulate, but you sure go fast." I said, "I'm trying to get through real quick so you can meet everybody and get onto the main part of the show. What's coming?" So I'm going to shift it in the old days from 78 to 45 to 33 and a third. Thank you for being with us tonight on Raising Expectations. And we have somebody very special, as you know. Terry Warner is a great writer. She does so many things. You've been reading about her. We've been zeroing in on her book, which is Train Wreck to Triumph. What a great title. And talking about the things in our lives and how those things seem devastating at the time. And yet God turns around and uses them for his glory and for our good and for taking us to the next great triumph that he has for us. She was sharing about this. You can go on the site. DJ has it up there for you. You can see, you can buy a copy of her book on Amazon or Kindle. It's right there, trainwrecktotriumph.com. It's a great book. I have mine coming. I don't have this yet. I'm fessing up now and I feel much better about it. How am I doing, Ron? But I have two other books coming up from some of our special folks. But I read what she wrote in the magazine that Charles Lingerfeld's the editor for. So I really have appreciated that from the Christian Times magazine. So you can see some of the things there. She's an author, visionary, strategic coach, media and revenue strategist, specializing in entrepreneurial excellence, C-suite visionary leader, keynote speaker. All of those come in a very special package that God has put together in her life from who she is so that she can bless us and many, many people. She speaks to large groups of folks in this, and she speaks on university campuses, much like our friend that we just had a couple of weeks ago. And she's just a blessing. So the best way I know how to do this is to move from introducing her instead of you've been reading about it all week. One of the great things that she wrote that you had shared about me was she's been down a road where she knows where we come from. And if you did read it, I'm going to try to see it right here very quickly. And if I can bring this up, one of you commented to me, and I think she should hear this too. We'll bring her on. She's our friend and such, but she's speaking about forgiveness and unforgiveness in the Christian Times magazine. She mentioned some of that here tonight. Is your choice, and she has a lot to say about that. Train Wreck to Triumph, in Terry's own words, and I put this up for you. It says, she said to the folks and had talked to people this week, "I may not know your name or where you've been, but I do know one thing. I know you stand at the intersection, your intersection, with destiny, following an experience you call your train wreck. I know about the pain that you've walked through, released, and moved on from, yet it still haunts you. I know of the thoughts that torment you in the early morning hours when darkness penetrates everything you hold dear, and even the silence screams out. I know there that you are in the blessed place, the best and blessed you could be, the place of becoming free." That's what she works on. She knows the Lord Jesus Christ. Her dad's a wonderful pastor, and I tell you, she just finds you get into her heart when she begins to share. So we want to welcome. This is going to be a little less, so guys, we'll have to go a little louder on the clap to make up for two. But we're going to give you the around the world welcome to Raising Expectations on three. Count it up. One, two, three. Here we go. Welcome to our program tonight, Terry. And that's
Funny, thank
everybody
you.
asked for that. Yeah, so they
I
really.
love it. I'd like to record it and take it with me. And just when I feel like I need a clap to say,
Just
there
hit
it
that
is.
button,
There's a
sister.
bunch of
Come right up.
people applauding me.
There you go.
Celebration, celebration. Thank you so much. It's a joy. Gosh, you say such great things about me. I thought I'd just kind of hang out and let you keep talking, you know. So yes, I think someone's wanting to call in. Is that the case or no? Anyway, forgiveness, you know, it's not so easy. And it's not, you know, we know, I think most of us know that we should forgive, that forgiveness is the most selfish thing we'll ever do because it is for us. It is the gift we give ourselves to be able to be free. You know, the one thing we get to do that those that may have harmed us do not, we get to live without them if we want to. I mean, we get to live without whatever happened. Not that I'm saying, you know, you end all relationships. I'm just saying that you do have the right to choose how you forgive and release. And I think a lot of us forgive, but we don't release. It keeps coming back. I don't like the phrase, well, I may forgive, but I'll never forget. I'm like, and I hear spiritual people, I hear ministers say this. I hear ministers say, well, you don't have to, if you weren't apologized, if forgiveness wasn't asked, you don't have to forgive. Your being asked to forgive has really nothing to do with forgiveness. That would be nice. That's like, you know, it's nice if someone brings you flowers, but it may not happen. It is your responsibility to forgive and to release. And, you know, some things are hard to forgive. I'm not saying it's easy. A lot of times we think, well, I'm letting them off the hook. It's like they didn't do, I'm saying they didn't do it. No, you're not saying they didn't. Whatever happened didn't happen. You're saying, I choose to be free. I choose to release you and go to the next level in my life. Because if you don't forgive, you're getting up in the morning and you're going to bed at night. And let's be honest, every now and then that person kind of comes to mind, that situation, that thing that caused us even torment. And I truly know I know how torment feels. I know what it feels like to ask God to tell me the truth and Him to say, I'll tell it to you until you say you don't want to hear anymore. And I know what it feels like to beg God to stop. Don't tell me anymore. Cured my need to know way good. I don't need to know anything, you know, I'm way past that. I know what it means for the truth to be so ugly you can't believe your head. You can't put your head around that this happened. And that's how sometimes people hold things against God because they, well, how could you let this happen? And God's saying, well, how could you choose that in the first place? He doesn't say it with judgment, but there's a truth that our choices do create harvest. The seed we plant will create harvest. Harvest is the exponential experience, the exponential experience that it never stops of the seed we plant, good, bad, or ugly, you know, whatever you want to say about it. It's going to be there. And on the apology, I want to touch on this for a minute. People get confused about apology and forgiveness and asking for forgiveness. And I'm going to say, you'll find me to be a little pointed in my communications. I'm 71. I don't have time to mess around with being, you know, real soft about everything. You know, we got to get some things done. Is I do not believe apology has the power of asking for forgiveness because it doesn't require engagement, agreement, or action. I can say, oh, my apologies. Oh, I apologize and walk out the door and walk through the door. I didn't ask for them to make the choice to forgive me. When you ask for forgiveness, it is a humbling of yourself. To say, I'm asking, I'm giving you the right to choose if you'll forgive me. It's different than apologizing is very, you know, no participants needed. You just say apology and you asking for forgiveness is a level of maturity. And I think maturity is really what we're dealing with, immaturity in our world right now in so many areas of leadership, of just living life, is our immaturity. Immaturity is judged, gauged, evaluated, however you want to say it, from the point of injury to the point of recovery. That's maturity. If you've ever been around someone, and we won't mention a gender, but if you've ever been around anyone, because I may be the only one here with that, who has a tendency to do the cold shoulder when they're upset. You know, nothing's wrong. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. And I was obstinate enough to just go on and say, you know what? That's good. You're fine. Good. Guys, that's how to do it. But sometimes we take that approach and it's an immaturity. And so maturity and making choices and being responsible and being accountable, when after you ask for forgiveness and you forgive, either way, you may not. I put something on Facebook the other day, a lot of people chimed in on, which was, I've learned to accept the apology I never got. I've learned to forgive what seemed unforgivable. You have to learn that you are the one that has the choice to forgive. And it's a choice, but the harvest of unforgiveness is so cruel. You know, we talked about last week how in scriptural days, the way you were punished if you murdered someone was you got to have that body, the dead body, strapped on you, facing you. Everywhere you went, you saw what you did until their death became the decay of your own body. And what does that speak to on destiny? What does that speak to about the things we haven't forgiven that really destroy our destiny?
Yes.
Distraction, disempowerment, discouragement, disappointment. Whenever you put the dis, D-I-S, in front of a word, it means to eliminate the power of what's to follow. If you become distracted with the death you've caused or what you've done, you know, death, so to speak, I'm not advocating, I'm just saying, you know, death of a dream, that kind of thing. Let's get it straight here. If you become distracted, which you're going to be with whatever has not been resolved, healed, where there's not wholeness, what will take place is the elimination of traction. Distraction is to eliminate the power of traction. You can't get up from your chair and walk one foot without traction. Right? So you don't get to go anywhere. And so, you know, we talked about last week a little bit. In my book, there's four sections: train wreck, get the wreck off the track without jumping into it, get off, move it. Number two is transition. In transition, we'll talk about truth coaching in a little bit. And then it's transformation. So transition is let's set up some tracks, you know, to move. Transformation is we're getting back on track. And then triumph is we're making tracks. The most important part of a train is, to me, there's a lot of important parts, but the most important part that cannot be is kind of underplayed is the tracks. You're not going anywhere in the field. You know, it's going to be hard for that train to go without tracks. And so there's a structure, synergies. I'm a business coach, synergy, strategy, structures, all those things come together in our healing. And I do believe we come to a place we have to trust God, we just have to trust the process. We have to forgive each other, we have to forgive ourselves. And we have to forgive God. Sometimes the reason people, Paul, you ask, how do you, with someone doesn't have hope, how can they have hope to move to the next step? And sometimes I believe that is trusting one more time, but forgiving. Some people have to forgive God because they can't believe they become, oh, he did this. You know, how can they trust healing to come from someone they don't trust? And trust happens when you forgive. And so sometimes we have to say, trust enough to forgive and take one small step. Just take one small step to trust one more time. And so in this, I just want to open up for questions or for conversation, you know.
Was it Peter Marshall, Ron, Paul, do you remember that said, I always think of that on that point of forgiving God, you know. He said, when you find it hard to be humble, hard to care, hard to forgive, just remember how much harder it was for Christ to hang on the cross and look down at you. I think it was Peter Marshall. Presbyterian. Score one for the Presbyterians on that one. That was a
You know
good
what? I when I was a young girl, I was a young teenager, read avid reader, you know. One of the first books I read was by Catherine Marshall, her story.
Yes.
And it was so powerful to me, really made a difference in my young
Big
life.
joy in the
So I'm
morning.
so happy you brought that up. That brings back a great memory for me. For
Great
me.
story. Wow.
Was that a man called Peter? Was that the name of
Yeah,
the
A
book?
Man Called
Okay.
Peter.
I may call Peter.
Yes, sir.
Okay. That was a good book. I
That
read
was a
that.
great, I read that so many
Decades ago.
times.
Yeah, it went really
It
deep.
was a wonderful book, a wonderful book. You know, do you have anybody else have anything to say? I'd like to talk about truth coaching a little bit and how to help others with that.
Well, I wanted to chime in on the idea of forgiveness. I think this, well, I think there are a number of neglected topics that society and even especially even the church need to address, and forgiveness is one of them. It's it's difficult for people now because of, it's like society, in society we've become more and more sort of separated, isolated,
Disconnected.
distanced. You don't have connection and relationships anymore. So it's easier now to hold on your unforgiveness. But I remember the first time I read in Matthew 6, you go through the Lord's Prayer and you go, oh, it's great that you memorize it. And somebody pointed out the next two verses. Forgive us our trespasses, forgive those. And then it says, because if you do not forgive, your heavenly Father won't forgive you your sins. And I go, wait, what?
That's wow. That's a wow.
Right. And and I think the book Matthew 5, just before that, Jesus does another analogy, and he talks about the captain of the guard coming and tossing you into his prison, and he said, there you will stay until you've paid every penny. So if I don't sort of forgive folk, if I don't do the thing that I'm supposed to do, it's like I open this door to demonic influence and Satan attack in my life. And this is forgiveness is unforgiveness the same way. It opens this door to this to Satan to continue to beat you and to drag you through. What is it? I'm sorry, lastly, the other thing that stuck out to me early on was the quote that it says, unforgiveness is like drinking poison, waiting for the other person to die.
Yeah,
And
right.
I think Nelson
I
Mandela
love
put
that.
another no,
Where
I think
is he?
Nelson
I
Mandela
love
put another
that.
twist on it, but it painted the picture for me. Those things combined, I mean, really sort of set off a bomb inside my head and my heart. How in the world can I hold on and not forgive, remembering all that God had forgiven me for? And again, and once you, I started thinking going on a path, he was very gracious, just pour all kinds of memories back into my head.
Oh yeah.
Horrible, horrible, horrible things. And then he says, like, okay, so which one is worse than what this person did to you? But it
So
set me
true.
on this path because it was a truth that just rocked my head and my heart. One last thing. So one of the things Chuck Colson was just fascinated by, someone interviewed me when I was going through this thing in Madison, and because everybody was angry on both sides. But they couldn't figure out why Ron Greer wasn't angry. And the reporter asked me this question. I said, well, I could no more be angry at them than I could a blind man with steps in my feet. And the
Yeah,
guy
it's a
goes,
good one.
he just he his he said it made no sense to him.
Yeah.
But it's if I hold on to something someone does to me or somewhere I'm offended, then I become the prisoner. Even if they don't apologize, and I never got an apology, but it didn't stop me. I understood that circumstance and those incidents didn't take place without the sovereign will of God. And if God's involved in it, he has something he's doing in my life for my benefit for the long run that might glorify him. And
That's
under those
powerful.
circumstances,
That's powerful. That's
yeah.
powerful. You know, I love that. One time I had a friend who had some marital challenges and for a good reason, And, you know, they fixed some things and she went back. And I questioned her and said, being the good friend, you know, we're not always the great boys. I said, are you sure? You know, I don't know, you know. And she said, Terry, I have to trust the God in him to be bigger than anything else.
Yes.
And I thought about that. You know, do we really trust God?
You're right.
And
Amen.
I'd be the first to say, I mean, I have historical documentation I could share that I had for many years trust issues of God.
Yes. Yeah.
I was kind of born 40 years old saying, I'll just do it. I had this attitude, I'll just do it. I'm going to send you an email. All these people need you so bad. And I mean, they're some messed up people. I'm just going to send you an email and kind of let you know things are going okay. And, you know, don't worry about me. And he's like, you're the number one I need to be afraid of. But I had that. But you know, when you talk about the poison, that phrase, there's a doctor in Dallas, actually, who had a man come to him a few years ago. This is in my book as well, that his back was deteriorating. His back was disintegrating, basically. And he said, you have to get in for immediate surgery. And he was going to him as a last resort. You know, go the naturopathic, wait till you're almost dead, but go the naturopathic at the very last resort, you know, is what his attitude was. And the doctor gave a test to him and he said, when you were about 8 years old, and the man was about 45, did you go to this particular beach as a child? Were you stung by this particular vermin? I don't know if it was a stingray or whatever it was. I don't recall. And he said, well, actually, yes. And he said, the stinger has been in your body emitting poison all this time. I'm going to have you drink this, and when the stinger is disintegrated, your back will heal. Because what your body's responding to is the poison that's being
Inside.
emitted. And sometimes I think, no matter, you know, we may feel we've forgiven, sometimes we don't know. And that's why I put in the book about the symptoms of unforgiveness, you know. When you talk about that, you still tell the story a lot. When you tell the story, do you still feel emotion? You know, people are going like, oh, he's got that he done me wrong song down, like, you know, good. You know, it's real, just really interesting. But, you know, I want to bring up ways to forgive. I mean, we know we can ask the Lord to forgive through us, we can ask the Lord for help. One thing how God showed me how to forgive. I was in torment. I found out some things that were, you couldn't even put your head around them after I left a relationship. And God saved my life is what happened. But anyway, I was just really going through a tough time, and I prayed. I wanted to forgive so badly. I would go to sleep and I'd have Christian TV on. I'd go to sleep, and at 2 o'clock, Joyce Myers would say, thou shalt, you have to forgive. I'd set up, hear her, and go back to sleep every single night for like 4 months. I knew I had to forgive. You know, I knew all the stuff, you know, not all the stuff, but I knew enough about it to be, you know, understand. I just couldn't do it. You know, something else would happen. I'd get a phone call and my car was stolen and my clothes were stolen and my car was set on fire and et cetera, all this stuff. And I just kept praying, God, you've got to show me how to forgive. I want to forgive. I refuse to be in unforgiveness. I can't seem to do this. And he had me go walking every day. I would go prayer walking and I would walk. I was so destitute because of the situation that I didn't have any money anyway, so I had to go walking. I couldn't afford the gas. And so I'd go walking. And I would speak out forgiveness over the situation. I would speak out his name. I forgive. I release. I pray blessings and prosperity and health. And I would say that every single day. I would pray and pray and say this. I did this every day for about a year. One day I was out saying it, walking, and all of a sudden God stopped me, like had me as like I suddenly stopped. And I knew I had forgiven it. It was no longer something I said to kind of tell myself. I didn't believe it when I first said it. I was just saying it. But in saying it, it became real. And I totally, absolutely blessed that situation. I learned things and healed from things I needed to heal from sooner. I bless every single part of it. And some of it was very, very tough. And some things that happened in business too that's been very tough. But you know what? I found my God one day showed me. I was sitting, it was like I saw a vision. I'm sitting in a theater, the real heavy drapery theater, you know, the real old fashioned kind. I'm sitting there and I'm sitting there in front, and someone pulls the drapes open in my vision. And all of a sudden, I'm back on the top of the, you know, whatever that raft, you know, the whatever it is. And I'm on the very top, and I'm looking down from a different perspective. When I'm there in front, I'm seeing everything. When I'm up in the balcony, I'm looking down and I'm seeing if it hadn't been that situation, it would have been another. If it hadn't been him, it would have been somebody else. If it hadn't been that business deal, it would have been something was going to happen to bring me to a place of renewal, restoration, and wholeness. And they happened to be the players. Happened to be the players. They became the players. It took the persons out of the play. And I was able to forgive in a genuine way. And I was able to really just see it in a different way, get a different perspective. Because sometimes when we're in the river and we've got water whirling around us, we're seeing ourselves in trauma. Oh, we got all this water. We got all this stuff. We got a storm going on. But somebody up on the bank is looking down and they're seeing you in breakthrough. You know, and they're seeing you. And I really believe the part about Paul and Silas in jail is not just that when they praised the jail, you know, doors came open. I believe in my heart, and I'm still doing research on this. I believe there was a breaking of the ground that the jail was built on. Because in the breaking of the ground was the breakthrough. I don't believe anything could ever be built in the way it was in position. I believe there was that much power. And that's what we're looking for in breakthrough through forgiveness and through release and through all the things is we're looking for the breakthrough that a prison can never be built on that land again, in that place again. We can never be held like we were. And when they, you know, we all know that when they imprisoned Paul and Silas, they moved their feet and bound them in a way that would injure them from being able to walk. They would, if they had stayed a long time, they would not have been able to walk, which we know that has to do with ministry. And so, and why they were put in jail, and I love this part of it because I'm marketplace ministry junkie, is that's my calling, is it was over the marketplace. And I think sometimes we don't understand the battles we're facing from the enemy when we're in the marketplace as believers. And that's why it so behooves us to walk in character, to walk in that place of refinement and destiny.
Hey, we got a Charles on the phone. Anybody see that? Charles Lingerfield? You have a
Oh,
question?
hey,
bring him on.
How's it
There he
going?
is. How
Hi,
are you?
Charles.
Doing good.
Hey,
Doing good. I
Charles.
just wanted to call in. Say howdy and God bless you and just to listen and it's wonderful to be on this end of the show now and listen. And I don't want to take a lot of time, but I do want to say while Terry was speaking and talking about forgiving one another, my mind went back to when I was a boy about 12 years of age. And we didn't have water piped into our house at the time. And so the way that we washed clothes was out in the backyard. And we had a pretty good sized black iron pot that we had to haul water to and fill the pot with water, build a fire under the pot, my brother and dad and I, and get the water hot. And it was my job once the clothes were put into the boiling hot water And I don't know what all else was in there, but there was some cleansing element placed inside the hot boiling water that cleaned the clothes.
Mm, my lye job, soap.
And you remember those days, Henny?
Lye soap.
Lye, yeah, that, and we made that lye.
Yeah.
We made that. And it was my job to take this nice, worn stick. I think it was of pine or whatever, but it was a nice, smooth stick, a good handle, just a long stick, put it in the water, and I had to stir the clothes around and let them wash. And I remember one time feeling, having a feeling of sorrow in my heart for those clothes having to be in the hot boiling water. I don't know why I felt that way, but I did. I've always been when I was growing up, I was a boy of compassion, and I really felt for other people and loved other people. I think I got it from my grandfather and my dad. But then when we would get through that washing process, we'd take it out, take the clothes out with the stick and put it in a big, like stainless steel pan, and then rinse those clothes off real good in the pan, and then wring them out with our hands and hang them on line that we had out in the backyard with a clothespin. And the wind would get blow through them. The sunlight would be upon them. It was good for them to hang there in the sunlight, have the heat on them. And it was just a good process. The wind would cool them and dry them. And then when we would go back out in the yard and undo the clothespins and take the clothes off the line and take them in the house, my, how good they felt, and how good they smelled. And it was just a good process of teaching me. And I think that's the way it is with forgiving your brother or your sister. It's more of a release from the hot boiling pot for you than it is for anyone else. You know, it kind of takes you into the cool water and cleanses you in a way, and then you're hung. You can hang upon the clothesline and allow the sun to brighten you and shine upon you and warm you to the purpose that you're supposed to be here. And it's just a good cleansing process that I was thinking of. And I've gone through that myself many times during my Christian experience from age 14 and on up this way. So,
right. Wow.
Okay. thank you.
Yeah. So
that was good, Charles. Good.
Thank you. Thanks. And bless you guys.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing that, Charles. And thanks for loving people the way you do. You're always
so good. Amen.
Thank you. We love
God
you.
God bless you. And we look forward to listening to you again. And if you ever need us, we're as near as your phone. God bless you.
Bless you, Charles.
Bless you, brother. Thank you.
I got to steal that analogy to me. I got to fix that up. It'll be a sermon there.
There you go.
Yeah, that's right. Talking like walking, like Sherry was saying there. Yeah. You had an idea too, Terry, from forgiveness about coaching, how you get people to respond. I mean, how people can react and grow because they're not putting the walls up when you begin to talk. That was a little bit I got out of that. Did you have something that you wanted to share on that a little bit? We're going to.
Yes. There's a way for us to communicate, and most of you are probably aware of this, that actually changes the receptivity people have to you. And it's basically starting conversations with an open-ended question, much like how Christ talked, an open-ended question, which puts a physical pressure on the brain for them to find the answer. But also to use this even in talking about salvation, in talking about whatever your message is, if we say the same thing over and over, which we know we have done for close to a century, is
Yes, right.
being kind. The brain creates a brain tag that says, I don't like church. I don't like you. I don't like whatever. You remind me of my mother I'm mad at and they had to go to church, whatever. It brings up past. It brings up the past. And so in offering it in a way that creates a response, it creates 300 to 500% stronger engagement and follow through and creates a way for people to be heard. Because the challenge is when you say things in the same way, they're not going to hear you. They hear one out of every five words you say versus the opposite. And so just saying things in that way, I use many times a question, if there were one thing that you would choose to experience differently in your life today, what would that be? I say the one thing because two will confuse. So the one thing, and you put your finger up, one thing, if you're there, visually with them, so they see and they hear the one thing. And when they say, we know in Christ there is all answers. And so when they say, I don't have peace. I wish I, whatever it is, if I knew of something that has made that kind of difference in others, what would be your willingness to hear a little more? Or to know more, because we don't know what their rep system is, if they want to hear or know. And that is what I've used in business. That's what I've used in witnessing. That's what I've used in getting people to a place of hearing. Because truly, people don't want to know your story. They truly don't care. I mean, I don't want to be so rude, but we spend a lot of time telling our story. And the reality is, that's why I really don't hardly, I told more of my story tonight than I've told in probably 10 years. In any kind of presentation and communication is because it's not important. What is important is what is the truth that's going to make a difference for them. They want what's going to make a difference. And it's the same whether I'm at Texas A&M and talking to some teachers or whether I'm in a pastoral situation coaching a pastor or talking to business owners, which is what I do more. And so coming to something that we call truth coaching. We call it that because I made it up and I wrote the name, so that's what we call
That
Works for me. And so truth coaching is hugely successful. And I wanted to bring it forward because we know people, we all know people that need a touch from God. They need an awareness. They need something. But we have trained everyone that if we talk a certain way, that's what to expect from us. We have trained that we have to have long conversations to have any conversation. And we have thrown people off track and they're dying because we're not communicating well. There's things are happening. And so this truth coaching is basically asking one question. And I'm going to tell you why do I have time to do this? Are you okay on time, Joe?
What we got?
You got like 10 minutes. I'm
Well,
good.
good. I'm glad
Okay.
somebody
I can
watching
do this.
time. I
You don't have to do it at all. We'll get you.
completely
I can do
forgot.
this. I can do this. I'm a woman. I can do this. So it's basically, and the reason I started doing this was in this way, I started coaching doctors on having empathetic conversations, and I coached a doctor on forgiveness. He hired me to talk to him about forgiveness. And I'm thinking, I'm a woman, I get paid by the minute to talk. I like this job. I'm good at, I can do this job, And so I would, he told me, he called me one night for a 911 and he said, my dad was right. Nothing will ever go right for us Jones. I'm going to say his name was Dr. Jones. And I said, wait a minute, wait, what'd you just say? What? And he said, my dad told me when I was 8 years old, he came home from work. I'm talking like I'm in Texas. He came home from work and he was mad. His boss had been mad. He got in trouble. My mom wasn't listening. I was playing with toys on the floor, and I was about four. No, he said he was eight, I guess. And I didn't listen. And he said, "Listen to me, son. Nothing will ever go right for us Jones." And he's right. Nothing has gone right with me, for me. And now my son wasn't allowed to play soccer, first string, and all that, you know. And so that's what it is. Nothing ever goes right for us Jones. And I said, "Well, wait a minute." And this was when God birthed this. And this is what I'm so excited about, how God births systems, approaches, truths, way truth can be communicated in a way that we can duplicate it and make it easy for us to do to make great outcomes, to create great outcomes. And that's what I love. And so I said, "Well, wait a minute, let me ask you a question. What if that's not the truth?" It's the first question. What if that's not the truth? He said, "Well, wait a minute, it happened. It was the truth." I said, "Yes, it happened. But what if your dad had a bad day? What if he was feeling frustrated and mad, and the boss had said something and your mom wasn't paying it? What if it was just a bad day? What if what he said in that moment was the truth he had taken an oath to say? That was an oath. But what if it just wasn't the truth? What if he meant for that moment, for that day, that was the truth?" He said, "Then I've created my entire life based on a lie." I said, "Well, join the human race." I said, "So if you were willing to take that truth in your hand and willing to just bless it, forgive it, release it, and it falls away, what are you willing to now hold in your hand as a truth
That's right.
that God says you're unique, you're uniquely made, you're powerfully made? He saw the beginning and the end of your life. He has a destiny for you. He's thinking good things, not evil for you. What if you could create something new?" He did. Called me, we were coaching, and suddenly that was our time had extended. He got everything he needed to get fixed. He's living in the house he never thought he'd live in, a neighborhood he never thought he had the right to live. He has dealing with business partners differently, dealing with in-laws differently. All of it changed because one question, what he forgave, what his perception was, to embrace what now could be. He's not the same guy. He's not, his dad's not the same dad. So I said, "When you do forgive your dad, what will that look like?" And he did. And all the time in coaching and marketplace, I've led many times people to the Lord in forgiving their dad and forgiving their mom and embracing a new life that they're creating through the creative power that we have in us. And that's why I believe in vision. I believe that we create a vision, we connect and commit to a vision that impacts our identity. That impacts who we are, how we behave, what we say, what we do. And then that takes us into the power of our thoughts. We'll talk about another time. Forgiveness changes your vision, changes your body, your spiritual health, your physical health, your mental health. It's Mental Health Month. We forgive. We totally change every cell in our body. Our DNA is changed because we forgave and we think differently, we feel differently, and we proclaim and decree over our life in a different way. Forgiveness, without forgiveness, none of that. We have the toxic thoughts that start destroying our physical gene expression, millisecond by millisecond, that goes down five generations. But we can choose to forgive and to embrace and to think differently. And that's what's going on in our world right now. Mental health, suicides are going up daily. I work a lot in the PTSD with veterans, first responders, and et cetera. My book kind of ties into some products I work with. And we're seeing amazing things happen when people start forgiving and change their sleep. They start getting peace at night and sleep, and they start forgiving. And I am seeing radical change happen in lives because of the peace that God brings when we forgive. And it's a process with a lot of people that have gone through a lot of stuff. But I believe we all, many of us, have some areas of mental health. And you know, mental health is, well, we all have mental health, thank God. But we have some areas of challenges because mental health is really how you feel about your life. Are you buoyant? Are you resilient? We now give hundreds of millions of dollars of grants to people to decide how to teach kids how to be resilient. Teach kids how to forgive. Teach kids how to have a vision about their life. Teach kids about God is always there. You have a strength in you. You have a life that is going to be created through you and to you
Yes.
and with you. And I believe that when we take forgiveness to the market, when we take forgiveness to our audience, when we take forgiveness, hard forgiveness, even hard forgiveness, it's not always easy. You know, but if you, I teach my business clients to be uncomfortable every day. If you're not uncomfortable every day, less and less is going to make you more and more uncomfortable. So thank you. I'm very
Right.
comfortable with this subject. And thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. That
But
was good.
well, we got like 1 minute, yeah.
Ah.
I'm gonna talk to Terry, see if we can't we have one spot popped open here coming up and see if she couldn't take us the rest of the way in that, and we'll get back to you folks on that. So we'll get rolling real quick. Yeah,
Right.
so well, I tell you what, that's excellent. Ladies and gentlemen, I know you're taking notes. I have my phone lights up here with people that are checking in, saying they're listening to this, Terry, and that, and they like this and that, and they're popping up on there. Really appreciate that very much, and
You're welcome.
appreciate
You know,
you. Yeah.
thank
No.
you. I just wanted to mention if they go to my website and put in their email address, they'll get a free ebook called How to Help Your Friend Heal Through Their Train Wreck Without Jumping In With Them. And it's 23 pages of bullet points. If nothing, I
Okay.
can write a title. It's 23 pages of bullet points on how can you be present for those in pain without absorbing the pain. Without losing, you know, helping them retain their sanity without losing yours. And just really how to be present in that with that person and be on that journey with them, but not in it with them, you know, not.
That's very good. That is good.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you've
That is
got that
great.
website on our PR for the program, and TJ and the others do a wonderful job getting that up for the other stations from
Amen.
us. So
Yeah.
we're thankful for that. And Terry, thank you very much for sharing.
Thank you.
Oh, there we go. You'll see it's going to be on the website. So I probably won't take us through all this tonight for time's sake.
No,
But
that's it's been an honor. Thank you so much. I
Oh, thank
appreciate
you.
it.
Yeah, you can find it there, and we'll make sure that we get that up. And also, ladies and gentlemen, just remember, God's at work in your life, and He's doing things you can't even understand. So if you can't understand it, that just means it's something probably better than you could ever imagine because you're not there yet. He always gets us ready for the next level. So these wonderful things that are happening, and Terry, so on. So we appreciate that very much.
Thank
So,
you.
Ron, boy, is it good to see you. We missed you, man. Glad you feel a little
Hey.
bit this, you know. So otherwise, sorry. Paul, good to see you. Boy, he's taking notes, a lot of them tonight.
Thank you. Good to see you too.
Yeah.
Be blessed.
Got a
Be
lot of them
blessed.
going tonight. Yeah. Terry, God bless you and Dave and
Thank
all
you.
the family and your dad
Much love.
yeah.
Blessing. And Ron, I'm in McKinney once a week, so we should hook up for coffee
We
or
got to
something.
connect there. We got to
Yeah,
connect.
it'd
There
be
you
awesome.
go.
There
All
you
right.
go.
I'm
Okay.
gonna. I'll go to your website and I'll. Oh,
Yeah.
Facebook, and I'll DM you.
Yeah, Facebook me. Yeah, that'll be
That'd be
best.
good.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
There you go.
I
That
look
sounds
forward
good.
to
Thank
it.
you. Yeah, reach out there.
Thank
Keep
you very
calling.
much.
Send the
Thank you,
mail.
Terry.
Yeah.
Thank you,
All
Terry.
right.
Good to see
God
you.
bless.
Bless you.
Thanks for
Appreciate
being
it.
here. God bless and keep you. Have a
Thank you,
great
Joe.
week. And remember, as you're pillowing your head tonight, He's there with you. Just listen to what He's saying. And most of all, don't think you have to have an answer. Let Him show it to you. Just rest in who you are. And you know why? Because you know who He is. So do
Amen.
that
Amen.
tonight. We look forward to
Amen.
seeing you next week, same time and station. God bless and keep you. Thanks a lot.
God
Bye.
bless. Bye-bye.
Happy
Bye.
trails to you until we meet again. Okay,
Amen.
bye-bye. God bless.
See you later.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556 or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.